Mary Kay Cabot joins us right now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Mary Kay, I have kind of a dumb question to ask you later on in the interview. Do not let me forget to ask you possibly one of the dumbest ideas or smartest ideas I think I've ever come up with, Mary Kay. But first, I heard you on Baskin and Phelps. You saying, hold on, let me get the quote here. Long shot, Deshaun Watson plays at some point this season. I don't know, Mary Kay. It feels like an about face.
No, I've been saying that he's around. He's in the meeting rooms. That he's throwing to wide receivers. But I still feel personally, and I've said this many times on this show and others, I really think the ship has sailed here for the most part for Deshaun Watson. I don't envision him playing this season, and I think it's going to be a long shot even next season if he's still on the roster, which he can still be on the roster next season because he would count $80 million against the cap if they tried to cut him. So I don't think it's an about face at all. I've been saying that he is here. He's helping guys. But as far as actually getting on the football field, I don't really see that happening.
Yeah, Mary Kay, maybe nobody cares because he just wasn't flat out good enough and it's been a disaster from basically moment one. You thought maybe he could pull people in by just his elite play. We haven't seen any of that. We haven't even seen average play. But with all that said, like, does he have any kind of a relationship with anybody in town? Are there any like next level relationships, not like shallow relationships, from teammates to people that cover him? Like, I just feel like I don't know anything about Deshaun Watson other than what's been in the news over the years.
Well, I think that a lot of his teammates like him. I mean, you saw so many of them really get very, very upset when some, not everybody, when some fans cheered while he was down with the Achilles. His fans, including Myles Garrett, of course, Jameis Winston, and a bunch of others, Nick Chubb, jumped to his defense. So inside the building, the players have always liked Deshaun. I'm sure there might be some that don't, but for the most part, he has been a good teammate, okay? You can say whatever you want about Deshaun in any other aspect, but inside the building, he's been, for the most part, a good teammate, especially this year. Now, last year, as I wrote in a recent column, the Browns were not overjoyed that he wasn't around during the tough times of the 3-14 season after he re-ruptured the Achilles and after he ruptured the Achilles the first time. They were not overjoyed that he wasn't around very much. Even though he had rehabbed the shoulder in Los Angeles, there was sort of a feeling like, hey, it would be nice to have you around here. Well, that's all changed now. He has been here every day since he had the second surgery, and he has been present in the building, and the coaches have raved about what he's done inside the building in terms of helping other guys and things like that. So he's not as much of a villain, I don't think, amongst his teammates as he is amongst the fan base.
Mary Kay, could we go into the season with four quarterbacks on the roster?
Yes, yes, I have said that and written that. I have a headline on that. So, yes, they definitely can go into the season with four quarterbacks on the roster. And the only way they won't do that is if someone makes them some kind of an offer that they can't refuse. But I think they probably envision using some combination of Joe and Kenny at some point during the season. And then I think they would like to see the rookies also at some point during the season. I don't think they're going to start the season, Dylan or Shador. I think it's going to come down to Kenny or Joe to start the season. And then I think they would like to see those guys later, if it lends itself to that, as they work through their new quarterback room for 2026.
Mary Kay, what do the rookies have to prove to Kevin Stefanski that shows that they're ready to take the reins of this offense? I'm not talking about week one. I mean over the course of the season.
Well, I have a series going up over the next 2 weeks. Today it started with Joe Flacco, and I kind of take a look at what each guy needs to do to win the job. And in the case of Dylan Gabriel and Shador Sanders, Dylan would just have to show a complete mastery of everything to the point where he's ready to go out there and play fast. The thing about Dylan is that he has a computer-like processing speed. I had talked to someone at the Senior Bowl that told me that he was as good as anyone when you put him on the whiteboard and you talk ball with him, that he's just very, very quick in picking all of that up and understanding it and already knowing a lot of that. So in the case of Dylan, it's just a matter of it would be to go out there and show that he can play fast in this system and that he's connecting well with the players that he would need to, the Jerry Judys, the David Njoku's, Cedric Tillman's, and that he can handle everything that's going to be thrown at him. He's got a very well-rounded game already and a good grasp and understanding of the whole pre-snap process and beyond. In the case of Shador, I've written this many times that he was not as up to speed on some of the kinds of terminology or concepts or long, complicated play calls and different things as Dylan was. He didn't come in with a real enormous football encyclopedia of those things. But the Browns have discovered, and people want to lose the second part of this whenever I talk about this, but this part is important. He also has an incredibly high football acumen, and he can quickly pick all this stuff up. It's just that he hasn't had to bark out the real long, long plays and all of that kind of thing yet. So he's coming up that learning curve quickly, and they saw that in the final 2 weeks of the last week of OTAs and the week of minicamp. They saw how all of his studying really lent itself to a good performance on the practice field. It translated. And if he continues to do that and he shows back up for training camp with even more knowledge of the system and more mastery over the terminology and all the things that you have to do pre-snap, then he's going to keep himself in the mix. And he's in it right now. He kept himself in it with a really, really good two final weeks. And he didn't take himself out of it with the speeding. He's not out of it because of that. So I think those are the things. He's got to show that he can do all the pre-snap stuff as well as he does the post-snap stuff. And he has an edge, I would say, in some ways, on Dylan in the post-snap stuff, just in terms of accuracy, touch on the ball, and those kinds of things. So those are some of the things.
I know I'm putting you in a tough spot because it's been really hard to separate the quarterbacks just based on what we've seen so far, and it hasn't really been anything remotely related to real football. But who would be, of the four quarterbacks, do you think the favorite to not be here once the season started? For one reason or another, maybe a trade, maybe just not good enough, just whatever it is, just that one quarterback.
Well, like you said, I think all four quarterbacks are going to make the football team. And I've said that and I've written that many times. It's difficult to predict at this point which one would be the odd man out if one had to be. I don't think one has to be, and I don't think one will be. But if I had to pick one right now at this moment, I suppose, and I don't even like to do this because I don't see this happening. I suppose I'm going to say this, but also say I think there's a good chance Joe can start the season. But I suppose there is a chance where if someone made them an offer that they couldn't refuse, if a quarterback goes down in training camp and said, we have to have Joe Flacco, maybe we're going to make them some kind of an offer for him. I suppose he would be the one that a team might be most likely to come after to get them through their early part of the season or whatever the case may be. But I think he's going to make the team. And I think he still has a good shot to start in week one, as does Kenny Pickett.
Steelers made a lot of moves, and I know you're paying attention to the rest of the division, not just the Browns. One of the moves they haven't made is either signing T.J. Watt to an extension or trading T.J. Watt. If you were the Steelers, Mary Kay, would you trade T.J. Watt?
Oh, boy. I suppose it depends on what you think you can get and what you think you can get out of that. I think that when Myles Garrett wanted to be traded, I think it became evident that it's hard for a team to give up that much draft capital for a player like that and that much money. Because when you are trading for T.J. Watt, you are also taking on a salary of more than $40 million a year now, because he's going to want to top Myles Garrett. So that's going to be the going rate for a player like that. And so I think it would be tough. I think that, like the Browns did, I think that they would probably be better served by hanging on to him and letting him do his thing.
All right, now I got a wild question for you. Okay, when the Browns move into their new stadium in 2029, they'll have the wall of fans, which I believe they will call the dog pound. I don't know if anything's official yet, but you imagine that's going to be the dog pound, right, Mary Kay? Right.
Right.
So, you know, a lot of people this week, now that it looks like we're moving forward with the stadium, they're going, oh my gosh, you know, the 3-14 and we're rewarding a team that isn't very good. I go, wait a minute, I got an idea here. What if, you know, the second time I say it, Tone, I don't have that much confidence in it.
Come on, Kay, just ask her.
They go, you know what? It's the team has to play well enough for the dog pound to be the dog pound, that we will just have that section and they will sit in the fans can sit in the end zone. And we won't call the dog pound until the Browns make the playoffs in the new, either in the new stadium or the year before they're going to the new stadium. Your thoughts?
I think it's such an incredible marketing technique and strategy for the Cleveland Browns. And the dog pound is such an enormous, huge part of the Cleveland Browns that I think it will be incorporated into the new stadium right from the beginning. And I don't really have a problem with that. They've seized it. There's dog merch everywhere. There's barking everywhere we go. I think the Browns and the dog pound are synonymous, and I think it will persist and carry over into the new venue.
Well, yeah, I know that, but what if they just decided, hey, our team has to earn the dog pound before we put any signage up, so we have to make the playoffs, and then we'll put the signage up, and it will be officially the dog pound?
I'm saying no. I'm saying no.
If you think it's stupid, you can call it stupid. It's okay.
Well, I'm not going to say stupid.
You can call me stupid.
I'm not stupid. But I think it's a little unrealistic. Besides, they're going to have their quarterback of the future by next year, so they're going to be on a roll.
Oh, I thought you were saying they're going to get their quarterback of the future this year. I thought you were talking about Shador or Dylan Gabriel. I didn't know. You got me excited there for a second, Mary Kay. Do you believe that they're still drafting a quarterback in the first round as of right now?
I think they should. I think they should. If you have two first-round picks, if you have those kinds of assets, I'm almost convinced at this point that you have to take a quarterback next year with the first, with your some combination of your first-round picks, however you can work that out. I think you have to, in a rich quarterback class, that you've got to toss your hat into the ring. And I don't think they're going to be sure about Dylan or Shador by the end of this season. So I think you almost have to do that. And then if you end up keeping those two guys, which there's a good chance that they could, then you've got a pretty low budget, high potential quarterback room for next season. And if you collect some assets at that position and you find yourself with a surplus, you can trade one or two of them somewhere down the road, or just have a cost effective quarterback room, especially next year, in a year when Deshaun is going to count $80 million against the cap, although they will restructure that.
Mary Kay, I saw you tweeting about the exciting WNBA announcement. Will you be getting season tickets?
I don't know yet. We have season tickets to everything.
I know so. You do.
Really? I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Okay. Never mind. I didn't. Congratulations on all your season ticket success. I had no idea about that, Mary Kay.
Well, we have, partial season tickets to everything. Yeah, we don't have full season tickets to everything, but we do get to enjoy all of the amazing sports. So I wouldn't be surprised. I come from a big basketball family here in the Cabot Merman household.
In the K-Cabots,
yes,
as Lyman would say. All right, Mary Kay, thank you very much for the time. All the best.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys. Happy 4th.
Same to you, Mary Kay. Mary Kay Cabot on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. If she wanted to call it stupid, she could call it stupid.
Well, I did get some messages.
Keith wants you to rip me for this idea. I know he does. And I'm like, well, I'm just throwing it out there.
Well, I did get some messages from people saying the dog pound has been dead for a long time.
Yeah, that's why I say maybe it should be up to the team to revive it.
But then again, Mary Kay just said everywhere she travels, it's dogs barking, it's references to the dog pound. Obviously, we know the signage in the stadium reflects that. So you know, maybe it's just not the same for everybody. I don't know. I mean, there are some things, right? The dog pound captain, I think they've knocked that out of the park so far today.
And it would be great, just envision this with me, if they opened up the state, say they make the playoffs, they lay the gauntlet down, and then when they make the playoffs the next year, when they have the dog pound, they can officially make it the dog pound, and they can make Hanford Dixon and Frank Minifield the dog pound captains. And they break the guitar, and the signage gets unveiled, just like what they did with Joe Thomas's name there on the side of the stadium. Boom, there you go. There you go. Okay, just everybody think it's stupid. I'm just trying to be proactive.
Hold on.
You guys all sit there and say that, well, they don't deserve a brand new boot palace or three. Okay, they won three games. Let me have them earn something out of this. Nah, Kenny's an idiot.
Are they going to be bleacher set up?
Nah, forget it.
Like the dog pound
forget
or
it.
What?
Forget it. Just fine.
For what?
Fine. We'll do nothing out of competition. Everything's just handed. You know, there was a wise man who once said, everything is earned here and nothing is given.
Will there be a chain link fence?
No, you can't do that in 2025 or any other year that's past 1995.
Do you want the dog pound or do you want the, what do you want? Well, harken back to the glory years or not?
Listen, man, I'm fine with a chain link fence. I don't think the fine people at the NFL or public safety, for that matter, would like a chain link fence anymore.
You know, if you fall the wrong way on top of it, you could get speared.
They also used to build these things out of all wood. No, I don't think they do that anymore.
No.
All right. Is it a good idea or a bad idea? 216-474-0092. I'm saying that they got to make the playoffs and earn the name of the dog pound.